Hallelujah. Let's go into the word. Thank you, Father, for your spirit within us. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you've bestowed upon us. Thank you, Father, for that great redemptive work that has made us righteous, holy, justified, sanctified, blameless. Thank you, Father, for that spirit, that spirit, your riches and glory. Thank you, Father, for that spirit. We declare and decree this morning that as we go into the word, our eyes of understanding is enlightened to behold the riches of liberality that you've bestowed upon us, to behold the ministry that you've called us into, to behold that great ministry of reconciliation accompanied with the ministry of prayer that we've been called into. We decree also that there is no confusion in our hearts. Our hearts are receptive to receive the truth of God's word. Our hearts are receptive to receive the truth of God's word. There is no confusion in our hearts. There is no confusion as the word is taught this morning. At the end of this meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. We are just going into the word already. We've been dealing with something very interesting in the last few days since Friday. We've been talking about prayer as the lifestyle of the believer. We've been talking about prayer as the lifestyle of the prayer of the believer, rather. What are we to do with prayer? What are we to do with prayer? What did Jesus do with prayer? You know, and we spoke about how Jesus is God in the flesh and how Jesus is God revealing himself to mankind. We spoke about how you can spot spiritual infants that what they value. You know, we spoke about the several types of meetings that we saw in the book of Acts, teaching, prayer meeting, the believers meeting, evangelistic meeting, you know. And we also spoke about the differences between finished work and the ongoing or finished work of Christ, the ongoing work of Christ. Yeah, the finished work refers to that single redemptive work that Christ offered. Yeah, that is forgiveness of sin, justification, you know, those things are done forever. But there are some things that are unfinished, yeah, that are ongoing, what you call prayer, evangelism, spiritual growth, walking in love, you know, all these require our cooperation as saints. You know, look at all of that. We saw scriptures of Jesus agonizing in prayer. You know, Jesus agonizing in prayer and praying more earnestly. Yeah, with his sweat dropping like blood on the floor. Yeah, with his sweat dropping. Yeah, we saw that Hebrews 5 shows us that Jesus prayed while he offered prayer and supplication unto God. We saw something very profound that he was crying with strong cryings and with tears, not figure of speech. We saw that Jesus is an example for us to follow. Yeah, we are to learn obedience through the things he suffered. We saw all of that in the last few days, you know, and we saw that Jesus being God in flesh and God and being a man, 100% God, 100% man, he showed us an example. So the question, if there's a question in our hearts that if God was on earth today, would God pray? Yes, we know he would pray. How do we know he would pray? Because we saw him as a man, and scriptures record that he prayed, and he prayed earnestly. Yeah, that is, man cannot do without praying. Yeah, man should not be able to live or to fulfill God's will and purpose without spending time in a place of prayer. You know, we saw that prayer is our weapon. Yeah, what war are we fighting? We're fighting that great war over the hearts of men. Yeah, you know, remember we said our prayer supplies and persuasions, you know, persuasions to the hearts of men, you know, so we are fighting that great war over the hearts of men. You know, we saw all of that, and we saw that Jesus went into the wilderness, went into the mountain. The God that we say is everywhere, that we use that to cover up and lay under our blanket and put on the AC and, you know, want to pray for 1 hour, after 5 minutes we sleep off to the next morning. You know, that God that we say is everywhere went somewhere to pray. Yeah, before choosing 12 disciples, he went to pray. While he was about to be baptized, he was praying. While he was about to be crucified, he was praying. There was no major activity that Jesus was doing that he wasn't praying. Yeah, he healed the sick. After he healed the sick, he healed leprosy. What did he do? He went into the mountain to pray. Yeah, he went into the mountain to pray. Now, we have seen that the house of God should be called the house of prayer. You and I are the house of God. We should be called the house of prayer. So every believer and every saint that is a member of the house of God should be called a praying machine or a prayer walking man. Glory to God. You know, we saw all of that yesterday. We saw that Jesus was in agony. We saw that God prayed, you know, and stuff like that. you know, and we saw that Jesus prayed and put priority on prayer for men, for men, for men, for men. You know, yesterday we started looking at Ephesians chapter 6. We're trying to explain some things from Ephesians chapter 6 yesterday. Turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to Ephesians chapter 1, or let's say chapter 6. Let's say chapter 6, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. And finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Yeah, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Yeah, look at verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Yeah, that take there is an action word. Yeah, it says, take unto you the whole armor of God. Take unto you the whole armor of God. Yeah, back to verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God. Yeah, you see that word put on is an action word. Yeah, there's an action word that has been spoken about in Ephesians chapter 6, you know. There's that action word that has been spoken about, but we need to continue reading in context to see what that action word really is. Yeah, remember we said yesterday, salvation and the finished work of Christ, what the finished work of Christ gave to us has been explained by Paul in Ephesians chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. You've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. You're seated in the heavens in Christ Jesus. You know, you have the seal of the Holy Ghost. You are redeemed, you know, by the blood and all of that. He emphasizes that and he says that men should pray, that their eyes of understanding should be enlightened just the way Paul prayed. You know, but look at that Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12 now, this time around. Look at this. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against the rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness. Remember, we started paying deliberate attention to that in high places. Yeah, we said that high places, that word, what places, is in italics. If you check your Bible, if you use a very good Bible, you will see that the word places is in italics. That word there, high, is the same Greek word that was Paul used for heavenlies in his previous chapters. That same word is the same word. How do we know? Look at Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Ephesians 1, verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father, that is, blessed be the God, that is, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly, in Christ. Yeah, we see that word heavenly as in high. Yeah, in high, what Ephesians 6 is translated as high places is what Paul was really saying in verse 3, as heavenlies. Yeah, so where is heaven found? Heaven is found in Christ. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 verse 20. He said, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly. Yeah, that same word heavenly is the same word high places. Yeah, that's it. You see the word heavenly places in your Bible in Ephesians 1 20 is in italics also. Yeah, so and set him at his own right hand in heavenly. Yeah, where is heavenly? Heavenly is in Christ. What is heavenly? Heavenly is in Christ. Heavenly is just like the same thing, you know, what you call, you know, we made some corrections a few months back, you know, it set him as not at, when you say at the right hand of God, it will mean that God, it could mean or could be inferred that God is sitting somewhere and he now put it as his right, you know, but when it says as his right hand in the heavenlies, it is that it is the right hand. Yeah, what does right hand mean? Yeah, we'll look at that some other time in the future. But we see that heavenly has to do with Christ. Heavenly describes Christ. It is of God. It is of God. Look at the next chapter 2, verse 6. And he has raised us up together. He has raised us up together and made us sit together where in heavenlies. See places again in italics. Places again is in italics. Where is heavenly found? In Christ. Where is heavenly found? In Christ. Glory to God. So we see that heavenly is of God. Heavenly is of God. Hallelujah. So now we saw something very profound yesterday. So we saw the consistent use of Paul's heavenly or in the book of Ephesians. So spiritual wickedness cannot be found in that heavenly. Why? Because heavenly is of God. What is heavenly? It is of God. It describes God's armor. Yeah, it describes God's armor. Heavenly can be, you know, when you say the kingdom of heaven, yeah, kingdom of heaven. What is the kingdom of heaven? Kingdom of heaven speaks about that resurrection of that Christ. Kingdom of heaven is about the resurrection of Christ. It speaks about the giving of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Yeah, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. So you can say it this way, the kingdom of God is equal to the kingdom of heaven, which is equal to what? The resurrection of Christ, which is also equal to the giving of the Spirit, which is also equal to the new birth. Yeah, which is also equal to salvation, which is also equal to the whole armor of God. You see that? Very interesting, right? Yeah, Paul's use of word is so interesting that it takes paying attention deliberately to understand his use of words and observe the consistency. So when he's saying, put on, verse 11, the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not, a good way to read verse 12 would be, for we wrestle not against the flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness, full stop. In heaven, put on, in heaven, wherefore, take unto, verse 13 can start with what? In heaven, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. He now starts describing, stand therefore, having your loins guard with the truth, guard about with truth. Yeah, and having the breastplate of righteousness and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Can you see? What is he speaking about? He's speaking about the gospel, preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, remember verse 14 says, having your guards, your loins girt with truth, having the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Paul is not teaching that you can have the shield of faith or you can have the helmet of salvation, but you cannot, we need to pray to God today to give us the breastplate of righteousness. No. If you had read Ephesians chapter 1, 2, 3, those truths were already mentioned as your inheritance in Christ. Yeah, it's not that Christian can have helmet. You can have helmet, but if you don't have breastplate, evil arrow can enter your chest. Mm-mm. What was Paul using a complete armor of a soldier to teach? He was trying to use the complete armor of a soldier to claim to teach or to preach the complete inheritance we have as soldiers in Christ. He was trying to teach about the completeness. Yeah, he's not talking about kits of war in as much as using kits for war. Yeah, he's not talking about kits for war in as much as he's using kits for war to explain the completeness that we have as an inheritance in Christ. So that same salvation you called, that which he had believed in Ephesians 1:13, is that same salvation which he calls the gospel of peace, which is the same salvation he calls the helmet. Yeah, which is the same salvation he calls the breastplate. So he's trying to show our completeness in Christ. Yeah, that's why he called it the whole armor. Everything together put together is called the whole armor of God. What is it describing? It's describing the completeness in the completeness of the believer. You see that word there, and? You know that word there, and? We established over that word there, and is not always talking about two different things. Yeah? Look at, hold your hands in Ephesians chapter 6 and go to John chapter 3. Look at what John 3 says. John chapter 3, verse 5. And Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you. Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and the Spirit. That word there, and, is the word that means kai, is the kai word that means kai in the Greek. Yeah, not always used as conjunction for two different things, like Joshua and Joseph as two different people. But Joshua, that is Yusuf. Yeah, Joshua. So you can say Joshua and Yusuf. What you're really saying is Joshua, I mean, that is Yusuf. Yeah, so Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. He's not saying that there's something called born of water and born of the Spirit. He's not saying be born of the Spirit and go for water baptism. No. Water is figurative. Remember, we've established that John used water as figurative in his gospel. Yeah, so we say that except a man be born of water, that word there, and, is that is of the Spirit. Yeah, the Spirit is what he was really talking about. So you see the word there, and, yeah, used for born of water, I mean the Spirit. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. What does it say? It says the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. He is not saying that there is something called the grace of the Lord and you have to mix it together like a concoction with the love of God, then now mix it together like a herbalist and the communion. No, he is not talking about three different things, but talking about the same thing. So when you say the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is the love of God. So the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, I mean the love of God, I mean the communion. That word there, communion, is the supply of the Holy Ghost. So he's talking about the same thing. Remember, what is the resurrection? The resurrection is equal to the heavenlies, is equal to God's whole armor, is equal to the resurrection of Christ, is equal to the giving of the Holy Spirit, and is equal to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is equal, I mean, the love of God. How do you know the love of God? Look for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? It is seen in the supply of the Holy Ghost, in the giving of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, go back to Ephesians chapter 6. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 again. It says, wherefore in the heavenlies take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, can you say an action word? Stand, therefore, having your loins girt with the truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness. Breastplate of righteousness. Breastplate of righteousness. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Yeah, above all taking. So a good way to read verse 13, 14, 15 will be to replace that word "and" with the word that is for explanation. So this is what we'll say. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, that is, having the breastplate of righteousness. Yeah, that is, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Can you see that? Above all, I mean, above all, taking the shield of faith. Yeah, it's not that the believer can have a shield of faith, but you might not have the breastplate of righteousness. So you have to pray for the... No, that is wrong. That is wrong. That is wrong. Exegesis. In fact, that is exegesis, not even exegesis. Because exegesis will mean to explain in context of the text. So above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery dart of the wicked. Where is the wicked found? Spiritual wickedness is found in itself, not in the heavens. Yeah, but you that you are in the heavens, seated in Christ, yeah, after the resurrection, received of the Spirit, the giving of the Spirit. You are to take, look at it, and take the helmet. It says, verse 13, it says, take unto you. Yeah, take unto you. To take is a verb. To take something means an action. Yeah, yeah, it's just like that word. Yeah, it's just like that word that means to lay hold. Yeah, take is in all the verses. Yeah, to take, it means an action is to be done up until verse 17. Look at verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation, that is the sword of the Spirit. It's not that you can have the helmet of salvation, but you don't have the sword of the Spirit. No. Yeah, this helmet of salvation is the sword of the Spirit. Yeah, what did he now say about it? He says, which is the word of God. Which is the word of God. So there is something called... Excuse me. There is such an action that is not spelled out in verse 13 to verse 17. There's this action word. How do you know the action word? Look at verse 18. Praying always. You see that? You see where Paul was going to? So Paul was writing from Ephesians chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, describing the whole armor of God. Go to chapter 6 and explain how we should take on that whole armor of God. How did Paul say we should do that action of the whole armor of God? What did he say? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance. Remember, how did we teach Jesus teaching about watch and pray yesterday? He said, watch with me for an hour. Yeah, he went and came back and said, watch with me. Can't you watch with me? Can't you watch with me? When he now said, watch and pray. How do you watch? You watch by praying. So praying, how do you watch? You know, we said yesterday that watching and praying is not saying, oh, it's good to have gate man and have Mopol as your personal escort, but make sure you are praying along because it's God that says, no, no, no. That is not what Paul teaches. Yeah, Paul's watching is his prayer. Paul's watching is his prayer. So how do we watch? As believers, we watch by praying. Look at it again. Paul, did I say Paul's watching? Jesus's watching is his prayer. Yeah, so look at verse 18. Paul is saying, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching. So what is watching thereunto with all perseverance? It will be praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit. For who? For all saints. For who? For all saints. You see, Paul wrote a full Ephesians, not speaking about material things, but speaking about a type of prayer, which is an action you should take. Yeah, yeah. He reminded them of themselves. Chapter 1. You are righteous. You are forgiven. You have the eternal redemption. You are saved forever. You are seated in heaven with Christ. You know, he reminded them of that reality. He said, avoid selfishness. Yeah. Think about yourself as siblings. Think about yourself as brothers from the same womb. You know, he was talking about things they already have. That is the things we already have. We can see them in Ephesians chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. Where are these things we have? The things we have, they are in heaven. Where is heaven found? Heaven is in Christ. What is heaven? Heaven is the resurrection and the giving of the Spirit that Christ supplied by his resurrection. So when we read chapter 1, 2, 3, we must have in mind that there's something called prayer. What is the prayer for? Look at it. Praying always. Look at it. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying always. So taking unto you the whole armor of God. How do you take all the whole armor of God? By praying always with all prayer and supplication thereunto, with all perseverance and supplication for who? For saints. For who? For saints. So when you read Ephesians chapter 1, 2, 3, you see your reality. That should push you to a prayer for saints. In case you want to stop there, no, don't stop there. Read in context. Look at it, verse 19. After saying, making prayer and supplication for all saints, what did Paul say? And pray for me. Paul said what? Pray for me. What did Paul say? Pray for the saints. How do you take on the whole armor of God? By praying always. What are you praying about? Praying for all saints and pray for Paul. Pray for me. We saw yesterday that Jesus itemized Peter and said, I pray for you that your strength fail you not. When you are converted, strengthen your brethren. So Paul is saying the same thing, taking cue from Jesus. He says, pray for me. Pray for. So we have prayer in mind from Ephesians chapter 1. What is Paul really pointing to is that you should know. See, so he's saying forget forgiveness of sins. It's not something you pray for. You don't pray for God to forgive your sins. Yeah, let me say that again. You don't pray. It is not a Bible teaching that you pray to God to forgive your sins. No, you have forgiveness of sins. Yeah, you have forgiveness of sins. A proper look at scripture when it says if you confess your sin, is able to forgive. It wasn't talking about the believer. That is why a few verses we say, oh, I write to you not that you should sin. But if you sin, we have a propitiation for our sins. Who is Christ Jesus? Yeah, the believer is not to pray for forgiveness of sins. No. Yeah, that is why it's error for someone to say God took around the cities of the world and showed that there is sin all over the world and we should pray for. Forgiveness of sin is something that has been offered by that work of Christ. Let me say that one more time. You see, remember from the first teaching we started having, do not hear what is not being said. Yeah, do not hear what is not being said. Did pastor just say you should keep on sinning? No. Did pastor just say you can continue in sin? Grace about? No. What pastor is saying is that we are not told to pray for forgiveness of sins. No. Paul wrote about forgiveness of sins as something the believer already has in Ephesians chapter 1. In fact, in case you don't know, go back to Ephesians chapter 1. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Look at verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he had made us accepted in the beloved. Verse 7. In whom we have, not we would have when we pray. In whom we already have the redemption through his blood, that is the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Mankind has received forgiveness of sins according to the riches of God's grace, not according to their prayer request or prayer point. Yeah, we are not to pray. I'll say that one more time. We are not to pray for forgiveness of sins. The believer has forgiveness of sins. Does that mean the believer should keep on living a reckless life? No, that is not what is being said. Listen attentively. Yeah, we see verse 7, in whom we have redemption. We have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. You don't get forgiveness of sins because you pray. No, you are too small to receive forgiveness of sins because of prayer. God only offers forgiveness of sins by the giving of that Spirit. So Paul tackled forgiveness of sins. See, forget forgiveness of sins. Forget about forgiveness of sins. Yeah, we have that as believers. Yeah, remember, if you read verse chapter 1 to 3, you must have read chapter 4, where he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein you are called. Yeah, he has said you are forgiven. Walk like someone that has forgiveness of sins, not someone that because of forgiveness of sins, you start living a careless life. He says, walk according to the vocation in which you've been called. What is that vocation in which you've been called? It is the vocation that has to do with the fact that a believer has forgiveness of sins. So, what do you do with forgiveness of sins? Do you pray for forgiveness of sins? No. What do? You walk and live like someone that has forgiveness of sins and doesn't use that as an excuse to keep living a faulty life. So he tackled forgiveness of sins. He says, now take on the whole armor of God. How do you take the whole armor of God? Yeah, forget about sins. How do you take the whole armor of God? Forget about God, make me holy. No, he said, you are holy. Forget about God, make me redeemed or righteous. No, he said, you are righteous. No, it's not that we wake up in the morning and say, oh, if we are, you see, you know, the writer of Psalms says that if God should mark iniquity, none will stand. But we know that there is mercy with him. You know, all these teachings we are teaching right now, they are all building up to somewhere. Remember the first teaching, stay joyful. Remember the next teaching we had, what was that teaching about? I think about rejoicing. Next teaching, yeah, do not err. You know, do not err about God's character. Yeah, the next teaching, do not err. God is good. Do not err about the nature of God. Now we are teaching about prayer. Yeah, do not err about the nature of God. God is merciful and merciful to the uttermost. Because of his mercy, he has given by the... Look at Romans. Look, hold your hands in Ephesians 6. Go to Romans chapter 5. Go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Woman of God, man of God, you were ungodly when Christ died for you. Yeah, you were ungodly. Let me say that one more time in case you didn't hear that. You were ungodly when Christ died for you. Yeah, when Christ gave that offering, when God gave that offering through Christ, you were an ungodly man. Look at verse 6 again. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yeah, yeah, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare die. What does that mean? It means that even if you say a man is good, it's difficult for you to say, I want to die for a good man. Now think about a man that is not even good. Yeah, look at it. But God commended his love towards you and I in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for you. You were a sinner when Christ gave an offering for forgiveness of sins. Yeah, you didn't pray. Your forefathers did not pray for forgiveness of sins. God, in his message, while we were all sinners, he says he commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we are saved from the wrath through him. You see that? You see that? You see that? You see that? You were without strength. You were ungodly. You were a sinner. Christ died. That has been sorted. You are holy. You are righteous. Yeah? Now, put on the whole armor of God. How do you put on the whole armor of God? By praying always in the Spirit, watching thereunto unto perseverance and supplication. Yeah? For who? For all saints. Yeah? Not a selfless, selfish prayer, but a selfless prayer. Glory to God. Remember the same thing we read yesterday in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 25. Yeah, look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 25. Brethren, pray for us. What did Paul say in 1 Thessalonians? He says, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. He's not saying go and kiss people up and down. No, holy kiss is that designated and specific kiss that is unique to a group of people. So the holy kiss will be that kiss that is designated, yeah, to a group of people. Yeah, so greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. If you are standing with somebody, if you are standing with your wife and someone comes and says and pecks her on the lips, yeah, you can't call that holy kiss. Yeah, and say Paul says greet all with, no, you can't try that beside me. Yeah, you can't try that beside me. You can't, let me say it again, you can't try that beside me. You can't say it is a holy kiss beside me. Yeah, what is Paul saying? Greet all brethren with that designated kiss that is for all brethren. Oh, glory to God. Yeah, so he now says, I charge you, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21, Romans chapter 5, verse 5 to 9. Yeah, I charge you by the Lord. This is 1 Thessalonians right now, verse 27. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 27. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all. Read unto all. That means everybody in the church in Thessalonians should know what Paul was writing about. Remember yesterday we saw it. Verse 12. What did he say in verse 12? To know those that labor among you. That means every church member should listen to Paul writing that those that labor among them should be known. Verse 13, they should be esteemed very highly in love for the work's sake, for their work's sake. Verse 14, he says, warn them that are unruly. That is those that are unruly to recognize those that labor amongst them. Look at verse 15, walk in love. Yeah, yeah. Do not render evil for evil. Walk in love. Look at verse 16. Rejoice evermore. That means the churches, the members in the church in Thessalonians should read these things. Yeah, they should read these things. They should walk in love. They should rejoice evermore. Verse 16. Verse 17. Pray without ceasing. Verse 18. In everything give thanks. Verse 19. Quench not the spirit. Yeah, the church is to hear that they are not to quench the spirit. Verse 20. Despise not prophesying. Yeah, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearances of evil. Look at verse 24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Go back to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19. Ephesians 6, verse 19. So, look at verse 18. How do you take on the whole armor of God? By praying always in the Spirit. You take on the whole armor of God that is found in the heavens by praying always in the Spirit. Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. We are praying for who? For all saints. Verse 19, and for me. So, praying for saints and for me. Who is the me? The me there is the pastor that is writing. Yeah, the pastor that is writing. Who is that? Paul that is writing. And for me, what should the prayer for Paul be? That utterance may be given unto me. Why do you think Paul was asking them to pray for utterance? Because there's a time in life, there's a time in ministry where it is easy to forget those things you've learned. That is why conviction is built and deepened over the years. What did Paul say? Ephesians 6:19. For me, that utterances may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly. There is such a prayer as praying for men with power, for them to be able to open their mouth boldly. There is something called opening your mouth boldly, and there is something called saints with all perseverance should pray for other saints and for men that labor over other saints. So look at it again, verse 19. Look at it, verse 19. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly. What is the mouth opening boldly to say? Is it to say no? Is it to say no, you are not supposed to be in power? No, you are not supposed to be in power. No, you are the one in power. No, that is not what the boldness is for. The boldness is for to make known the mystery of the gospel. Yeah, to make known the mystery of the gospel. Yeah, that is what utterance is for. That is what the boldness is for. Boldness is to make known the mystery of, in fact, hold your hands there. Look at Acts chapter 4. Look at Acts chapter 4. Look at Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 31. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. Verse 31. Look at what it says there. Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. There is such a thing called prayer, and the place is shaken. There is such a thing called prayer, and the place is shaken. There is such a thing. Look at it. They prayed, and the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. How do we know? They spoke the word with boldness. Look at it, they spoke the word with boldness. So it's not far-fetched for Paul to pray or ask the saints to pray for him so that he would have boldness. Yeah, go back to Ephesians 6. Go back to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, and pray. Yeah, remember, we said something. Yeah, wherefore take unto you. How do you take unto you in verse 13? Verse 18, pray always. Where is the whole armor of God found? In the heaven, in heavenlies. Yeah, where is heaven found? In Christ. So, pray for all saints, verse 18. Pray for us. That means there's something. See, your prayer life should be a selfless prayer life, not a selfish prayer life. Yeah, who are you praying for your prayer life? See, if all saints decide to listen to what Paul is praying for, it will mean that all saints will be well covered. Because if me as a saint am praying for 500 saints, I know that 500 saints are praying for other 500 saints who I will be a part of, because I'll be 501. Yeah, look at it again. Look at it again. If I am number one praying for all saints, it will mean that I'm listening in obedience to what Paul was teaching. Yeah, and what Jesus was teaching. Jesus taught, pray for Peter. It will mean that if I'm praying for 500 men, it will mean that I can also be rest assured that 500 men are praying for me, because they will be praying. Well, you see, there is nothing called, we don't see selfish prayer. See, when you see the Bible says that Jesus prayed fervently and his sweat was like droplets of blood. You see, if we didn't know better, we would think he was praying against the evil altar. Yeah, serpentine spirits, demonic foundation in my father's house, or the witches and wizards that are holding his life. If we didn't know better, you would think that that's what Jesus was praying for, that his sweat was like droplets of blood. I mean, think about it. What else could a man be praying for? That you'll be so involved like that. The totality of his being is so involved in warfare. Why do we wage war? We wage war in the place of prayer, because prayer is our weapon to wage war over the hearts of men, not singing, not thanksgiving. Prayer is the weapon of the believer. What was Jesus praying for? At last, we see Jesus was praying passionately and fervently. Hebrews 5:7, while in the days of being in the days of his flesh, he offered up prayer and supplication with strong crying. So Jesus prayed passionately, fervently. What was he doing? In bringing himself to the into alignment with God's plan for his life. What was he doing? Remember that song, as we pray, exchanging our thoughts for your thoughts, submitting our will to your will. Yeah, what does prayer do? Prayer helps a man to submit. In fact, let me say it this way. Consistent prayer makes it easier or helps a man to submit himself more to the will of God. But I know in your mind, some people will say, does that make sense? Ordinary God's plan. And you're praying with so much energy. God's plan. No, we see now that there is something called utterance be given unto me that he may open his mouth boldly. That is Paul. We see Acts chapter 4. There is something called utterance that we may open his mouth. He may open his mouth boldly. So when you see the apostles prayed in a place, they were gathered and the place was shaking. If you didn't know better, you would think that if you peep, you would hear them saying, money, my promotion, every man sitting on my document, what are you living for? Some assault, tumble, and catch fire, and die. You see, how can somebody tumble assault and you don't expect him to die? You still don't think that one will kill him. You still ask him to catch fire. After fire, you don't still think fire will kill him. You still ask him to die. Habba. No, that was not what the apostles were praying for. Yeah, no, you're not praying that, Lord, that business breakthrough. Oh Lord. What were they praying for? They were praying that they will have boldness. When you see prayer, what happened? They didn't pray fervently and the place was shaking. And the next place they went to was for the place for contract. No, the next place they went to was to preach the word boldly. Remember, they prayed fervently that they may stay bold. Look at it. See, let me speak to you today. If you are not bold about the gospel, about preaching the gospel, you are not praying enough. I'll say that again. Yeah, if you have that fear, if I go out, they will not accept me. They will not listen to what I'm trying to say. No, it is because you are not praying enough. You see, prayer doesn't make you have so much power. Remember, you are full of power. Look at Acts 2. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer. What was the hour of prayer? Usually known as 3 o'clock. Yeah, being the night hour. What is the night hour? The night hour is the night hour from the beginning of day. Beginning of day is usually 6 a.m. in the Jewish culture. So at about the night hour, they were going to pray. These are men that just finished winning 3,000 souls. They were going to pray. Why were they going to pray? Not to have power to heal. How do we know? Because verse 2 says, and a certain man that was lame from his mother's womb was carried. Yeah. Look at verse 3. Peter and John about to go into the temple to pray. The man asked him for alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive some. But Peter said, silver and gold I have, but such as I have, I give unto you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And he took him by the power. Can you see that? And his feet and ankle bone received strength. So can you see, they were not going to the prayer room to go and receive prayer to heal. No, they were going to pray. Why they were going to pray? They healed the sick. Yeah, they heal the sick. Yeah, so you see what? If you have fears, Ephesians, if you have fears about preaching the gospel, yeah, if you lack boldness to preach, I will tell you what is doing you. Yeah, nobody is doing it from your father's house, nobody is doing it from mother's house, nobody is doing it from your uncle's house. No, what is doing you is that you've not spent time in the place of prayer. Yeah, if you are always running from evangelism day, it is clear. You see, it's easy to know those that, see, there's no way you can pray and you have utterance and you will for any reason miss prayer meeting that leads to evangelism meeting. Yeah, there is no how you will miss evangelism meeting or evangelism outreach if you are a man of prayer. So can you see that? Yeah, you know yourself. An easy way for your pastor to know you are not praying well is that you shy away for evangelism. First week, why are you not there? I had work. Second week, why are you not there? I'm going for a meeting. Third week, I'm going for a class. Fifth week, I have exam. You see, you are not spending time giving yourself to prayer. That's all it means. So I can easily know a man who is not giving to pray, because there's no how you will have boldness to preach the gospel and you would want to shy away from a general opportunity. Boldness to preach. Yeah. Imagine praying fervently that the facility is shaking. Yeah. I know some people will say, what kind of misinvestment of energy is that? Why is he investing his energy in all the... I don't know. It's very easy that sometimes nowadays, if you go to some prayer meetings and see what they are praying about, it's easy to know what they are praying about. every household wickedness, every man or woman, tabati ada, fighting meaning in Christ. What are you living for? Catch fire, some assault, duplicate yourself and replicate, and you know that is what people are praying for. Or money. Money. You see, we don't pray for money. We work for money. I will say that again. We don't pray for money. We work for money. We don't pray for money. We work for money. We don't pray for money. We work for money. The miracles happen. Yes. We don't see apostles and Jesus pray for money. We see them pray for the hearts of men and pray for boldness. Yeah, but same people, if you let's pray for the hearts of people that are preaching the gospel in Egypt. You don't want to go to Egypt, you don't want to go to Iran, you don't want to go to those countries to preach the gospel boldly. Pray for them, at least that's the best you can do, at least. Pray for people that are going to the bushes, yeah, those Sambisa forests that are going to preach the gospel wholeheartedly. Everywhere will be graveyard. Pastor, let's pray for ourselves. See, listen, where did you get that training from? Who's your teacher? Who taught you that? It couldn't have been Joshua. It couldn't have been Jesus. It couldn't have been Peter. It couldn't have been Paul. It couldn't have been John. Yeah, it couldn't have. Yeah, you see, have you seen some people catch? There's something you call catching a burden in prayer, in the place of prayer. Yeah, when you catch a burden in the place of prayer. Yeah, you see people used to describe when you are praying and you are out of control. I used to see people, when they are praying, they are hitting their hands on the floor. They are slapping their hands on the wall. Yeah, yeah, they are hitting their hands on their stomach. It is not show off. It is when prayer consumes you. You see, it is out of control. Yeah, you will have diverse demonstrations at times. You will be slapping your hand on the wall, on the floor. You will be stamping your feet. Why are you playing? Because you see, imagine you are receiving boldness and you are receiving devotion of fire. Yeah, you see people bend their knees. Some people will be standing there. You see people praying in the house of prayer, bending their knees. You'll be standing there. Cool. It's not that difficult now. It's not that difficult. Prayer for the heart of man. It's not that difficult now. But the same people pray for, when you tell them that they've not had a job for years because their father is doing this and doing that, you see them, they will bow like lions. Yeah, there's something called wailing, heavy wailing in the place of prayer. How do we know? Jesus showed us the example. How do we know? The apostles were praying and the building was shaking. The apostles were praying and the building was shaking. The apostles, Jesus was praying in the wilderness. His sweat was dropping like drops of blood. Yeah. All these moments are not moments of once in a year. They are moments that we should be having consistently. Yeah, when you take out time and go to read, in fact, go back to Luke 22. Luke 22. Let's see Jesus. Let's see our Lord and Savior. The Lord and Savior that you said has done everything for you. Look at him. Luke 22, verse 44. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. That means the agony did not make him say that is a victory note. No, agony is not a victory note. Jesus was in agony. What did he do? He prayed more earnestly. His sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood. What was he praying for? A crucial phase of his life. Yeah, the reason he came, to submit himself to the will of God. Yeah, to submit himself to the will of God. Yeah, I'm sure he must have had temptations to Kai. You know, because he was a man. Remember Philippians 2, who thought it not robbery, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Jesus Christ felt pains. When he thought about the pains he will feel, he had to express so much more pain in the place of prayer, what we call agony. Look at it. You see, to submit himself, to be obedient, yet submit himself, to be obedient to that thing. He had to give himself to the place of prayer. So how do we submit ourselves to God's will in obedience? We give ourselves to the place of prayer. See, let them say something. If you struggle with God's plan or fulfilling God's plan, it's usually because you are a man or woman not giving to prayers. Yeah. What is God's plan? What is God's will? Yeah. Remember, I said that earlier. If you are struggling, yeah, there is something wrong. Check it. If it's easy for you to compromise, check it. You are struggling with prayer. What is compromise? Pastor, every day, tongues are interpreted. Every day, sing psalm. Go, why you say psalm, Pastor? Why are you singing psalm? Sir, not every day. It is because you are not giving yourself fully to prayer. You are not giving yourself fully to prayer. You see, you can't obey God successfully without having a sound prayer life. Yeah, it's easy for you to. You see, when we say gospel forever, darkness forever, what fuels us to write those things is because of the prayer lives we are having. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yeah. So there is such a thing. We saw Jesus withdrew to the wilderness. Look at that. Luke 22. Look at Luke 22. What did he say? Luke 22, verse 39. Look at verse 14. Look at verse 41. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone cast. That means there's such a prayer. As much as there's something called collective prayer together, there's such a thing called withdrawal prayer. Yeah, withdrawal prayer. There's a technism of withdrawal that is associated with prayer. Yeah, that withdrawal technism is a prayer that has to do with stepping aside from the midst of people to give yourself to prayer. Yeah, we want to see more men step into prayer, get into prayer and stay there. Yeah, yeah. Obeying God might be difficult. Let me not lie to you. It might be difficult, but prayer always makes it easy. Yeah, prayer will always have a way of making it at least easier. Let me not even say easy. Make it easier. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yeah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yeah. To fulfill this God's mighty plan. Yeah. We don't depend on strategy and determination. It's not only by strategy, determination alone. Because strategy can fail. Determination can fail. Peter was saying, I will go with you wherever. That was what Peter said. Peter was saying, I will go with you wherever. I will go with you wherever you go. What happened? He denied Jesus 3 times. Not once, not two, 3 times. Why? Because the hearts of men, can you see? Because we are dealing with the hearts of men. Think about yourself. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. You see, it's difficult for a praying man to be easily distracted. But also take note that a distracted man will find it difficult to pray. Let me say it again. It is difficult for a prayer man to be easily distracted. But if you are a distracted man, you will find it difficult to pray. Yeah, so get into your own Gethsemane. Yeah, get into the wilderness that Jesus went into. You are a disciple. You are to learn from his suffering. Yeah, yeah, you are to learn from his suffering. Glory to God. If you have difficulty with focusing on the gospel, spend more time praying. You know, we've seen that Jesus is God and Jesus prayed. Look at Luke. Look at Luke 18 verse 1. Look at Luke 18 verse 1. Luke 18 verse 1. Look at Luke 18 verse 1. What did Jesus say? Luke 18 verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end. That means, what is the parable was speaking? Yeah, yeah. What is the summary of the parable was saying? Look at what he was saying. That men ought to always pray. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. That's your Lord and Savior. Men ought always to pray. Men ought always to pray. Men ought always to pray. So men are to always pray. Look at Acts 6. Look at Acts 6. Look at Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6 verse 4. Look at verse 3. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, who we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. There is such a thing as dedication to giving yourself or giving ourselves continually to prayer. Prayer is not a finished work. Forgiveness of sin is a done work, is a finished work. Look at Romans 12, 12. Look at Romans 12, 12. Why was Paul saying pray? Look at Romans 12, 12. Romans 12, 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, verse 11. Not slothful in business, being fervent in the spirit. How did he say it in Thessalonians? Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, pray always, rejoice evermore. How did he say it in Romans chapter 12 verse 11? Not being slothful in business. What business is that? Business of the spirit. What do you do? Remain fervent in the spirit, serving the Lord. Remember, Anna served the Lord in the temple day and night, praying. Look at verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 17, like we said yesterday. Or in fact, before you go there, go to Ephesians 1:16. Paul asks us to pray, but he already showed us something in verse 16. I cease not to give thanks for you and making mention of you in my prayer. Look at Colossians 1:9. Colossians 1:9. Colossians 1:9. So before Paul said, praying always in the spirit, he told you, I cease not to pray. Colossians 1. Look at Colossians 1:9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard of you, do not cease to pray for you. For this cause also, since the day we heard of it, we do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in the wisdom of spiritual and wisdom of spiritual understanding. They did not cease to pray. What were they praying about? To be filled with the knowledge, not to be filled with the Holy Ghost, but to be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. To be filled with the knowledge of his will. Look at 1 Timothy, the same Paul. 1 Timothy 1, verse 3. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. Look at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of his of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Look at verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayer. What do you see there? Night and day. I thank God, whom I serve from our forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing, Paul without ceasing, had Timothy in remembrance in his prayer. Had Timothy in mind in his prayer. What prayer type of prayer is that? Prayer that was done night and day. Look at Philemon chapter 4. Philemon verse 4 rather. Philemon has one chapter, verse 4. Philemon chapter 1 verse 4. Philemon chapter 1 verse 4. Philemon chapter 1 verse 4. Look at what it says. I thank my God, making mention of thee always where in my prayers. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayer. Can you see? Paul asks us to pray in Ephesians chapter 6, praying always. He didn't just say it as head knowledge. It is that he should pray. So it's not about writing status on WhatsApp or Facebook and saying men ought to pray. Oh, you should get on your knees like the apostles and pray. You should get to a wilderness and pray. Okay? You should get to wilderness and pray. You see, it's very easy to pray. If you see, it's very easy to get to wilderness. You see, sometimes you might think that, for instance, for me, if it is difficult for me to get into a wilderness to go and get myself to pray, what I do is I take my car and park in the middle of nowhere and just lock my car, put on the AC there and scream as much as I want to scream. Yeah, at least that's the easiest of wilderness. So we don't have an excuse not to have a wilderness. Yeah, go to a place, middle of nowhere, and shout where nobody will come and say, is there anything that happened to you? No. Yeah, you wind up your glass here so that nobody hears you are shouting, and you shout as much as you can. Yeah. So there's something called praying always, praying night and day. Who did Paul say we should pray for? Look, go back to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. What does it say there? Praying always with all prayer and supplication, always, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me. So a good way to read verse 18 and 19 is to put it as one verse. Praying with all supplication for all saints and for me. What are you praying for Paul in reference to? That utterance may be given. So Paul said, pray for your pastor. Spend hours, spend days praying for men who have influence over the lives of other men. Look at Romans 15. Go back to Romans 15. Romans 15, verse 30. If you look at, remember, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 20 or 21 says, Paul says, pray for us. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19, Paul says, pray for us. That is me. Yeah, look at Romans 15. Look at Romans 15, verse 30. Romans 15, verse 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye stay together with me in your prayers. Can you see? Pray for me in your prayers to God for me. That you strive together, rather, with me in your prayers to God for me. What is the prayer about? That I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. That means there's such a thing as called prayer of deliverance, yeah, where we are praying for all saints and for men that are preaching and heralding the gospel, that I may be delivered from them. So Paul says, pray for me that I may be delivered, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, yeah, that their eyes of understanding may be enlightened. Pray for me. Colossians 4. That's Paul. We've seen Paul in five scriptures now. Look at Colossians 4. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Look at what it says. Look at what it says. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Continue in prayer, yes, and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Without praying also for who? For us. That God would open unto us a door of what? You see, for some of you that say, oh, I don't know scriptures to use to pray for my pastors. These are scriptures I'm giving you. Yeah, Ephesians 1, Ephesians 6, verse 18, 19, pray for saints. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, pray without ceasing, pray for us as ministers. Yeah, Colossians 1, verse 9, pray for us. 2 Timothy 1, 3, Paul prayed for Timothy. Yeah, Philemon chapter 4, Paul said continue in prayer. Romans chapter 15, pray for us that we may be delivered from evil men. Colossians chapter 4 now says, praying for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance. So you pray for your pastor that some doors will be opened up for utterance. You pray for more saints that the word of God will have more doors open unto them. What is the door for? Is it to go and take over their government? No, that was not what Jesus sent us to do. That is not what the apostles did. The door they were looking for is door to speak of the mystery of Christ. To speak of the mystery of Christ. They were to continue in prayer for doors to be opened to speak of the mystery for Christ. Look at verse 12 of Colossians chapter 4. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salute you. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salute you. What is Epaphras always doing? Always laboring fervently for you in prayers. Epaphras was that man who was always laboring fervently for them in prayer. What was his prayer about? That they may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. That they may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. That was Epaphras laboring always fervently in the place of prayer. Ephesians and Colossians chapter 4 verse 2, that more doors might be opened. Romans 15, 30, that be delivered from evil men. Colossians 2, 4 verse 12, shows us an example of a man always laboring. Most likely that will be night and day in prayer. Yeah, look at 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 1. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 1, yeah? So, that your next prayer time, what are you praying for? You are praying for all saints and praying for the men that are in the sphere of influence over other men in reference to the doctrine. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 1. He says, finally, brethren, what does Paul now say again? You see that? Paul is always saying, pray for us. That means there is nothing wrong in your pastor saying, pray for us. It is not a selfish prayer. It is not a selfish prayer. In fact, it is a selfless prayer. Why? Because the hearts and lives of other men are tied to what? His obedience and submission to God's will. Inasmuch as yours also is tied to that. No. Paul says, esteem those that labor amongst you and esteem them highly. Recognize them and esteem them highly. What do you do in recognizing them? You pray for them. Look at 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 1. What does Paul say? He says, finally, my brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have a free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Look at verse 2. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. That means not every man has the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. That means there are some men that are called wicked men because they don't have the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, Paul says that that the church should pray for them, they may be delivered. So can you see, we see consistently, not a single scripture do we see praying for your job. Not a single scripture do we see praying for money. Not a single scripture do we see praying for a big house. Not a single scripture do we see praying for a car. Yeah, what do we see consistently? We see the consistent prayer over the lives of men, the hearts of men. Glory to God. You see, needs are met miraculously as believers. You see, do not play down on the miraculous. Yeah, do not play down on the miraculous. Miraculous are, see, that is why one of the major teachings in understanding the doctrine of Christ is the teaching of contentment. What is he praying for? What is he praying for? Yeah, what is he praying for? What is he praying for? Yeah, you see, Bible says in Matthew 6, says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, desire. You see, he was speaking about desiring the resurrection of Christ. Things will be added unto you anyways. See, you are not the only one that has needs. You are not the only one that has need of a job, a car, a house, a better accommodation, a wife. You are not the only one. Bible says in Matthew 6 that even the unbelievers have such needs. They are legitimate needs. They are not ungodly. They are needs that everybody has. What was Jesus saying? He's saying that the unbelievers have those needs and their needs are met without believing in God, without looking at the resurrection, without looking at the reality of God's kingdom. Yeah. So you now don't take thought saying, don't let that be your focus. Yeah. Seek the kingdom and its righteousness. These things will be added anyway. Think about it. If you don't pray for food from now till next year, you know that you will feed. One way or the other, you know you will feed. One way or the other, you shall know you will feed. You know, if you don't pray from now to next day about a house, you know that you have a place to put your head. Glory to God. So we see the consistency. Praying for us. Praying for us. Praying for us. Praying for us. Yet praying for us. Praying for us. We are to pray for us. How do we pray for us? What are we praying for? The hearts of men. Yeah, yeah. There are scriptures. You see, it's easy to use. You know, the truth is that you end up, or the tendency that you end up finding scriptures that you may want to tend or think they are used to pray for things. But you know, if you read in context, we will understand them better. Yeah. So the truth is that a lot of times when you are even praying in tongues, yeah, some of your needs are met. Think about it, you know, sometimes, you know, some of your needs are met. See, do not hear what is not being said in this meeting. What we said was we showed from scriptures what the apostles and Jesus prayed for. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, think about it. Is there anything wrong in praying for things? Not in itself. Yeah, but we find ourselves in situations where people pray more for things than for the will of God. Yeah, there are certain decisions you want to make. Yeah, and you will pray. Yeah, and you pray and you see your heart is being inclined towards one or two things. Yeah, see, be a man of prayer such that, look at it. You need not take out time to go and pray for a job or for a house. But you can pray wherever you are and your needs are met in the place of prayer. I'll say that again. You need not take out time. Look at it. We don't see Jesus take out time to pray for house or cars. Yeah, you need not take out time. You need to take out time to pray for the hearts of men, to pray for salvation, to pray for the deliverance of men that are preaching the gospel from evil men. But you need not take out time to pray for your physical and material needs. Yeah, can you pray for your physical and material needs? Yes. Yeah, can you pray for your needs? Yes. Can you pray for and expect the miraculous? Yes. But you need not take out time to pray for that. I'll say that one more time. Yeah, you need not to take out time to pray particularly for your needs. You need not to take out time to pray particularly for your needs. Can you pray for your needs? Yes. Can you be going through challenges and want to sort it out miraculously? Yes, you can. But we see that the apostles speak particularly and emphatically about the type of prayer believers should pray consistently. What are these prayers about? They have to do in relation to the gospel. Hallelujah. Yeah, this morning, for the next 20-30 minutes, yeah, we're going to be praying the Holy Ghost. Yeah, for the next 20-30 minutes, we'll just pray in the Holy Ghost and stir ourselves up in the place of prayer. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What is that sound? That sounds like the sound that comes from a fireplace. What is that sound? That sounds like an echo in the midst of a thick forest. What is that sound that comes in its consistency for minutes, for seconds, for hours, for days, for months? What is that sound that doesn't seem clear that comes from that far region? Oh, it is the sound. What sound is that? The sound of men giving themselves in the place of prayer. That is the sound of men agonizing over the heart of men. What sound is that? Oh, what is their sound saying? What is the voice behind this sound? Oh, poskofuke, kebosko, that is the sound of the greatness of the mystery of Christ heralded in the simplicity and in its most simple form. Oh, the sound of men praying for men who are heralding the glorious gospel of our Lord and Savior. Oh, the sound seems to grow louder. Oh, it would have been expected that as time comes by, the volume of this sound reduces. But no, it looks like the farther a man goes from this sound, the better he hears it. Oh, these are men that are going in their numbers, that will leave whatever place they find themselves and go into the wilderness in obedience. Men that will give themselves to the ministry of the word and ministry of prayer. Men who will scopo kogende for kopo, koko kogende for 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 kog Yes, you listening to this right now, you are among such men. Yeah, you are among such men. Yes, you are. Yes, you. I mean you. Yes, you're talking about. Yeah, you're asking yourself, is it me? You, yeah, I'm speaking about you. You are among such men who has been given the strength, who has been strengthened. Yeah, yeah. I see consistency in your prayer life. Yeah, I see consistency and fervency in your prayer life. Oh, I see men agonizing and giving themselves more earnestly to prayer, to devotion. Why? Because they have come to understand that the devotion that is required of men is over other men. And we have come to understand that the devotion that we have and the warfare that we fight are over the hearts of men. Oh, men who with pausko konge de gapo koshoko dogo no debos e for copo scopo kenge nerevosugodogodo e coco scopo ekevoscopo kenegadevose. Oh, men who will stand perfect in my will, submitting themselves to my will. Men who will stand perfect, submitting themselves to my will, the will of reconciliation for all men. Men who have given themselves, just like Anna gave herself to the ministry of prayer fervently in the temple day and night. Men like the apostles who will get themselves in twos, in threes, in fours, in fives, in tens, and in hundreds, and will make up their mind and go to a far away place to spend time alone over the hearts of men, over the doctrine, over gospel. Oh, men. Oh, they are men. Oh, they are men. Yes, yes, yes. That sound remains consistent in this day and time. Yeah, men that will pray consistently without ceasing. Yeah, men who do not attach specific seasons to the reasons why they pray. Yeah, men who will go through bad things and keep praying. Men who would have everything working for themselves and keep praying. Men who will be devoted to prayer. Men who would continue in the apostolic doctrine and give themselves continually to prayer. Oh, men that will stand perfect and complete in my will. Yes, my will. Yes, my will. Oh, my will. And men that will pray for years ahead. Years to come. Months to come. Years to come. Years to come. Years to come. Men that would, out of their comfort zone, leave whatever they derive or whatever comfort they derive just to spend time and labor in the place of prayer. Yeah, that is what God will have said to you. Yeah, you are that man. I am that man. Yeah, I am that man. You are that man. I am that man. Oh, I am that man. Oh, I am that man. I am that man who will give myself not to selfish prayer, but to selfless prayer. I am that man who would give myself to selfless prayer for the church. I am that man that will give myself to prayer for men who are at the sphere of influence in reference to the gospel. I am that man. Oh, are you in that number? Oh, you should be in that number. Yeah, I am that man that will pray for the boldness and utterances that men who are in sensitive spheres as regards the gospel, men who as regards this gospel are handling sensitive spheres around the world. Man, I give myself to prayer. I give myself to prayer. I give myself to prayer. Well, we trust we've had a beautiful Sunday morning service. You know, we've had a teaching meeting. You see, we've had a teaching meeting. We've had a prayer meeting. We've had a believers meeting. Yeah, we've had a teaching meeting that led to a prayer meeting that led to a believers meeting. Yeah, now what is left? Evangelistic meeting. Yeah, so you know, if you think you cannot go out, or you don't want to go out, or you want to be home, yeah, reach out to people. Yeah, reach out to people, preach the gospel to people. Yeah, through WhatsApp. Yeah, reach out to those friends or friends that you think.